And I'm currently the youth worker at the moment for the next 2 weeks, and then I'll be stepping down. But it's lovely to be leading the service with you this morning. This morning we're going to have some worship. We'll be able to spend that time together, prayers, and some time to reflect on readings. And there'll be the kids' work going on as well after the children's story. So if you have a young person with you today, there's things going on for all ages right through to Academy. We had a visitor this week. I'm sure she visited a few of your Bible studies and small groups. She came to our youth group this week, and it just really struck me and the young people how lucky we are to be in a place where we can worship so freely together, without restrictions, really. We went to King's Church on Friday night with a lot of our youth. They run a big youth event kind of once a term, and our young people were able to be in a room and worship with hundreds of other young people. And I think after her visit this week, it just felt all the more special to know that we can do that and that we can spend time with God together. You want to say something? Okay.
What would you like to say?
Okay. We are going to worship, so please stand, and the band's going to lead us in a few songs. Also, feel free to sit down if you need to sit down in this time too.
Yeah.
You sustain us and you provide for us with your kindness and love. You bring things into being with your words. We don't always understand the things that go on around us, especially the evils that we witness in this world. Lord, help us to not just act on our own strength, but yours. Recharge our drained souls, lighten our spirits, and renew our strength. Open our ears to hear what you want for us. We praise you for helping us rise above difficult circumstances. You are the reason we have hope. You are the one who radiates joy into our hearts. Your presence is all we need. Grant us renewal and strength as we listen for your voice. Help us to tap into the source of your love and to share it with everyone we meet. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. If all the kids would like to come forward, Dawn's going to come up and do our kids' story.
Hello, my name is Gideon. I'm a farmer. And we've been having a terrible time lately as farmers. Our enemies, day and night, they keep coming and they damage the crops and they take our livestock. It's been awful. It's a dreadful problem. I don't know what to do. What do you do when you have a problem? Sorry? Ask your mum for help. Well, I did ask my mum, but she didn't know. What else do I do? Pray. Oh, I could try that. Yeah, I'll try pray. I'm good at that. Good at that. This is God. We don't know what God looks like, but I reckon he's got friends. Oh God, it's awful. The Midianites keep taking our animals and wrecking our crops. Please send them away. Yeah, okay, I will. You can do it. What? Me?
No.
I couldn't do it. I'm just a farmer. No, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. You can have strength from me. Well, you've got to, can you prove this then, God? If I were to lay peace out tonight. Yes, it's your baby. I'm just born. I'm just born, God. The fleece out, and if the fleece has dew on it is wet, or all the ground round is dry, then I'll know. Okay, I can do that. So, yep, that's the fleece. Thank you. You put this down here. Fleece. Right, Gideon's going to go to bed now. Watch, make sure he sleeps nicely and stays in his bed, won't you? God's coming out with the dew. We have got real dew, so we just pretend. Right, wake up, Gideon, it's morning. Yeah. Well, Gideon's going to bed now. God comes out with a dream. Sorry, did I get you?
This slide just gives a sample of the kind of generosity you've given beyond what you give contribute to the church. So it totals over that year around at least £8,000, and I've just put up on the slide a few of the causes that that's gone to. International Justice Mission, we often highlight. Christian Aid, one of the biggest partners that we partner with, dealing with particularly responses to the big disasters. Bethany Christian Trust, an organisation in Aberdeen, and a huge amount of money actually that's gone in and out in different ways in supporting activities in Ukraine, and also the support that we're trying to give to our new friends that we're getting to know here as we host in Scotland. So thank you to that for all of that, and that which we don't always record as well, so it's a fantastic thing. Next slide. This is where the money that you give to us in your offerings goes to. So we've divided up here into this pie. The biggest chunk there, the blue section, is what is the costs of having a minister. So there's all sorts of costs to the Church of Scotland of having a minister, number one is salary, but there's a little bit more around that. And then we also are a fortunate church in that we have enough resources that we also employ local staff as well, like Chloe. And so the 33% of the other side is the local staff that we also pay for. There's another chunk, which is orange there, and it says M&M on the screen, but it's changed to Giving to Grow. That is a section of the income we take in and we give into the central church system that, as I say, goes to support other churches that couldn't afford to even have their own minister in those kinds of services, and I said we're glad to do that. The yellow section is the cost of heat and light, insurance, and keeping our buildings going. Ever since we refurbished, that is much more efficient and effective, but as you all know, the costs of heat and light are going up. So that's a reasonably significant part of our outgoings, and we want to have resources, spaces that we can use for the mission that we're talking about, and that's the reason we have that. Beyond that, there's just three more tiny little figure slivers, and they are the cost of running our office, the cost of running the actual youth activities, and the cost of all the different activities that the church teams put on that are largely actually staffed by voluntary time and with full giving of their own resources, and so it takes a tiny bit of that. And that's on purpose. We wanted the main amount always of money that we take in the about to be going towards people and staff and activities and those who need it. Next slide. Last year, our offerings went down a bit, as we expected. The use of this building increased, which was pleasing, and that's what we want. And that meant that our total income was around about 129,000 there. But that meant over the year that we had a shortage over the year of our income versus our expenditure of about 9,000. Now, over the years, we've been incredibly generous as a community, and that means we have our reserve. It means we are able to cope with deficits like that for a short amount of time. So we didn't see that as a big issue, and we also knew in the context of COVID and everything after that that it would be challenging for people. So we are actually pretty impressed by the offerings that did come in. Next slide. So the offerings overall were down by 3,500-ish, and there were other reasons that the 9,000 gap was there, mainly due to the increased costs of heat and light. So there was that deficit. Next slide. This year, we're budgeting that our expenditure is going to be roughly the same, a little bit of an increase for heat and light. We are projecting the offerings coming in at the moment, we're just assuming they're going to be more or less the same. We want to be hopeful, but we are also being realistic. We're hoping that we can use the buildings even more, and that will cause a little bit more income. And we're aiming for a total income at the moment of about 132,000, which will still leave a gap of around about 10,000, which again we can sustain in the short term, but not in the long term. Next slide. So the challenge is that we have a number of people involved. Not everybody involved is able to give financially. We think it's still around 250, 270 individuals. We know certain amounts of the people, households, who actually give regularly, and over the years that has gone down. So in 2021 there was about 108 households who were giving regularly that we could record, and that's down to about 99. To meet the budget that we've aimed for would require an average of £75 a month. Now we're aware that some people can afford a lot more than that, and lots of us can afford a lot less than that, so we're not suggesting that you pay £75 per month, unless that makes sense to you. Just a wee challenge to eliminate that deficit, so that 10,000, if we were to actually increase our income just purely by giving, that would involve all of these people, these households, giving about £8 extra a month. Now, some of these households might be able to do that, but there is another way that we could improve the situation, and that is to get more and more people involved. The more people we have involved, then the less burden it is on all of us, so we can build on the work we're doing of continually inviting more and more people to join in with what we are doing. Next slide. So what we're aiming for folk to do at this time of year is to look at how much they give and to review it. Might be because of your circumstances you actually have to give less, that's absolutely fine. But if you are able to give more, then this is a great time to think about that, to think about the costs that are going up. If you don't give in a way that we can record, then it would be really helpful if you could give by bank standing order or some other way so we could plan on that. If you're a taxpayer, it would also be really helpful if you use gift aid and we can supply you with all the details about that, and that helps increase your donation at no extra cost to you by 25%, I think it's a bit, I'm not sure that's entirely accurate right now. All the details about this kind of stuff, there's actually a few bits of paper in the welcome area that have got forms on there, but also our treasurer, our office, anybody who's an elder or myself can give you information about that. But last slide, the main message has always to be, and we say this every year, just a huge thank you. We are grateful. We are not in any shape or form despondent or disappointed by how much you gave your time, your talents, and your money to this community. We know how blessed we are to have a thriving church that is able to do so much. And so our overall message, despite the challenge, is to say a huge thank you. And I'm going to invite Katrina to come in and lead for us.
Our reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Amen.
So the first image on the screen is an image, and you guess who this is? Yeah, this is my dad. So here's my dad, and that's actually me. And his name, one of our colleagues on the farm. I was always fascinated on the farm, grew up on the farm, my brothers are still on the farm, that when my dad wrote a check, that when invoices came in for the work that was going on, when we went to the mart to get to pay for something we bought or what was at the mart, on the pieces of paper, on the checkbook, on the invoices, were the words, next slide, R.G. Stephen and son. And my dad's name is Robert Gordon Stephen, so he's R.G. Stephen. But my dad had three sons. I have two brothers. So I find it strange that his business was called R.G. Stephen and son. However, the R.G. Stephen is his dad. Because as, I don't know what kind of farming families you know, often people don't bother thinking of new names. And so my dad is Robert, his dad was Bob, and that was because there were 18 Roberts, and in fact Robert Gordon's in the family. And so the R.G. Stephen is my granddad, and the son was my dad. So it's not my dad didn't know he had three sons. Or that he had a favorite, and that was the one that got to be part of the business. So actually, as my brother still operating the farm, it's still the same business name. If you try and Google and get directions, it's R.G. Stephen and son that pops up on Google. Next slide. We are looking at a story
a particular story about a father and a son, but it's part of a story about a man called Jesus of Nazareth. And it's a story told in a book called Luke, one of the four accounts we have of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And Luke tells of a journey that this young Jewish rabbi makes after causing a huge fuss in the north of the country, then down to the south, and in particular to the capital city of Jerusalem. And on that journey, he has all these different people gather around him, and as the fuss around him grows, so does also the opposition. And we hear some of the opposition and the responses to him, and that's one of Luke's themes, actually, the responses that people have to Jesus. But also, we hear Jesus' responses to some of these attacks and criticisms. In particular, a group of people have decided that they don't like the way he's living out what he says. He says he's revealing things about their God, and these groups of people don't like how he's doing that. They think it doesn't fit with their ideas of the rules, actually, they think that their God has given them. So they think he has the ideas upside down, that he's doing the wrong thing. In particular, next slide, he is spending a lot of time with people they would call, or they think should be, outcasts, people who are sinners. And that word means missing the mark. They feel that their God has given them a way to live, particular rules and commands. Some of them are really extreme about them. And anyone who misses that target, who can't live up to that, is a sinner, is a failure, and might infect you or other people with that. So actually, they're to be avoided and to be kept out. And yet Jesus is spending an awful lot of time with these people eating and drinking, and he's not seeming to feel angry about them. He seems to be celebrating. Next slide. So they feel he's with the wrong kind of people, and as he spends time with them and with his critics, we get his response to his critics. And in particular, after eating and drinking with the wrong kinds of people, Jesus tells three stories. And the first story is about a shepherd who loses one sheep out of his 100, and the next story is about a woman who loses one coin out of 10. And then his third story is about a father who loses one son out of two sons. And last week, next slide, we heard about the son who was lost and who then came home, and how delighted his father was. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. But that wasn't the end of Jesus' story, because that wasn't the only son in the story. This father had two sons. Next slide. And the next slide. So today we heard that the older son, because the first part of the story, the big part of the story, was about the younger son, and more actually about the father. The elder son was out in the field, and when he hears noise coming from the house, music and dancing, he calls one of the servants and he asks the servant, "What is going on in my house?" Now this is beautiful storytelling of Jesus and from Luke, who's collecting this together for us, because we know already what is happening and what is about to happen, but the scene is being set. Next slide. The servant tells him, "Your brother has come home," and the servant is using those words on purpose. Jesus has put those words in, "your brother," because it's obvious, even before we actually get his reaction, that this older brother isn't thinking about his brother as his brother. "Your brother has come home," the servant replied. The older brother is furious. He's so furious he refuses to go in to the party. And yet when his father hears that, his father rushes out to where he is and pleads with him to go back in to join in, which is exactly what he did with his younger son. When his younger son was coming home, he ran out to meet him and drew him in and then initiated this celebration. The other son, he's had some time while he's waiting for his father to come in, since he's heard what the servant has, and he's presumably still hearing the music and the dancing going on. So he has a lot of speech rehearsed. And the younger son, he had a lot of speech rehearsed as well for his dad, but his dad was so pleased to see him, he didn't even hear about that speech. Next slide. So the older son, out in the fields, having time to think, says, "All these years I've been slaving for you. You never gave me even a young goat so I can have a party. But when this son of yours has squandered all your property and prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." A great speech. Let's hear it again. "All those years I've been slaving for you. Well, that's not true. What the father did when the younger son came and said, I want you to give me my share of the property now, is he divided everything between the two sons. So he's no slave. And actually, I wonder what the servant is thinking right now as this son, who's actually a partner of his father, calls himself a slave. I've been slaving for you. Not true. He never gave even a young goat. Well, why would his father have to give him anything? Because in fact, he and his younger brother have divided up the business and they're in charge and he's running them as a partnership. He could have any goat he liked. Had he asked to have a celebration with his friends? Maybe not. Maybe he'd been working too hard. When this son of yours, well, here we get a real clue. He's not thinking about his brother, is he? This son of yours, that's the kind of thing you say in the heat of an argument. When this son of yours, and then this is how he describes what he's done. We don't actually know if that's true or not, what the younger son did. All we know in the start of the story is that he did it, he squandered the money in wild living. Here, whether it's true that he used it, the property, and wasted all the prostitutes, who knows? But the fact is that despite his anger, there's an awful lot upside down in what he's actually saying. Next slide. We then get his father's response. His father could have been angry with the younger son for going away, for taking half the business, maybe wasting half the property, and then slinking his way back. But instead, he was absolutely delighted and full of love and generosity for his younger son. And here, he displays the same for the elder son. He says, my son, reminding him who he is, not a slave. My son, you are always with me. You're always with me, and he's appreciated that. That's what he was missing with his younger son. And everything I have is yours. He takes all the sin out of everything that the elder son has said. And then he goes on, next slide. And I think at this point, he's looking at his critics as he finishes off the story, puts these words in that father's mouth. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, notice he doesn't say this son of mine, he says this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Because that's what the father of the story is interested in. He's interested in his sons knowing who they are, knowing that they are fully loved, that there's nothing that they can do to be rejected, to be cast out for his doing, to know that they, particularly the elder, are with him, and that's what he appreciates. And when he came back, that's what he appreciates. Not what he's done, not his prepared speech, but the fact he's now back with him. And that everything he has is there, that they get to do this together. And that they are sons of his, but they're also brothers for each other. And they have, he has to celebrate. And here, next slide, he is obviously Jesus, explaining to those who think he's got things upside down how he feels they've got things upside down, that the angry, grumpy God that they seem to have conjured up, who's only interested in people behaving and feeling bad, is completely upside down from the God who's revealed himself all the way through their stories as the God who wants to get involved and wants his people to come back and be always partners with him and to understand that they are his children, that they're loved and there's nothing they can do to get outside that love. And then he appreciates nothing more than being with them, being part of what they're doing, and then knowing that everything he has is theirs, and that they are part of what he's doing in the world. Jesus doesn't finish the story. We don't know what the elder brother does. We don't know what happens next. And I'm sure that Jesus, the Jewish teacher, Jesus, as he reveals himself, wanted them to go away thinking about that story. And perhaps in their imagination, playing out how they thought it would end. Or even more, in the way they responded, living out the way it should end. Understanding just who they are, God's children, and the people they are so grumpy with around them are as well. They are brothers and sisters. Jesus challenged them to respond, and we are in exactly the same position. So, over to you. Let's take a couple of minutes to think and to respond.
Amen. We're going to get ready as musicians. We'd invite you all to stand for our last song listening. Together, maybe think together about that story of the other brother Ben. Enjoy.